and Francesca present Senna Matrimony.
Welcome to another Senna Matrimony podcast. I am Matt Scalisi, joined by Francesca. And we have kind of a special Senna Matrimony today because we saw an old movie. So we saw it in the movie theater, so I feel like it's worth podcasting about. We saw Jurassic Park in 3D, although we did not see it in IMAX, to my somewhat chagrin. It was more of a timing thing.
We just couldn't get the mortgage.
It is really expensive.
Fixed up before then, yeah.
But I don't know. I actually came away with some slightly different impressions.
Me too.
So I am kind of, I'll let you go first, because I'm curious what, first of all, I mean, none of these come from watching it in 3D. That was,
yeah, 3D was like kind of non-existent.
It was very minimal effect. I would have been happy just seeing it in 2D, as it turns out.
They should have just re-released it.
But so anyway, what were your, did anything strike you differently?
Well, two things. One, there was a hell of a lot of denim shirt wearing going on in the 93.
Denim? Or sort of, it was khaki, really, though.
No. The shirts were denim. There were at least two denim shirt spottings, and it was both a female and a male. That was exciting.
Well, there's only one female in the entire movie of adult age, so.
Anyways, yeah. And then also, and this was something that I never noticed as a child, and it really bothered me as an adult. The T-Rex scene. They let those kids be in peril for, like, way too long before they tried to help them. Dr. Grant and Dr. Malcolm.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Not watch kids get eaten by a T-Rex.
Listen.
Because then they eventually were like, oh, get the flares. But it was, like, 10 minutes into the kids getting attacked by a T-Rex.
There's a reaction shot where they kind of show those two guys, and they're sort of sitting there going, like,
but they're not reacting
oh my
enough,
God.
Are they?
I don't know. Listen.
I didn't
you know,
feel,
you
I
know
was
me,
like, what's going on here,
Francesca? You know how I react in panic situations, and I'll tell you, I don't know. I mean, we're not talking about.
You don't know what you'd do if there was a T-Rex.
We're not talking about a person attacking kids. We're talking about a 50-foot tall.
But here's
monster.
The thing: they do eventually do something to help the children, but it's after they've almost been eaten like four times.
Well, they had to pick their moment.
Well, but they didn't. It did seem like they were just sitting on their hands for a long time. I'm just saying, that's what I took from it.
It's an interesting point.
Also, okay, so I had said two things, but what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, this I've never noticed before, but it was pretty apparent pretty easily, or pretty quickly to me, that Sam Neill, is that his name?
Yeah, Sam Neill.
Is not American. I never noticed that as a kid, and I was like, oh,
well,
he's doing okay, but that's not a full American
Some
accent.
Of that is because you probably have never seen him in another movie before. Because he didn't really do a lot of, like, mainstream blockbustery stuff after Jurassic Park.
The scene where they see the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Nope, not Tyrannosaurus Rex. What's that one? The Triceratops.
Uh huh.
And they're like crying. Kind of made me misty. And I was like, I'm crying about a fake
dinosaur
right now.
Really effective.
Yeah, it is.
All right. I have to tell you a couple of things. One thing that has really, this is not new, this has always bothered me, is that, and I've discussed this a little bit with Ben Flanagan. The geography of the T-Rex area is not very clear, and they sort of use it, they change it to their convenience. So sometimes it appears that that big fence that the T-Rex comes through, that's like ground level, and he can just walk right through it, and that's where he lives back there. But then as soon as they try to go over the T-Rex wall, that fence, it's like a 100-foot drop that the car falls down. Mm-hmm. So, like, which is it? Spielberg. Anyway, that didn't...
What an idiot. What a real dumbbell.
But I do think that something went wrong there. They must have changed something. But anyway, the other thing that actually... And I can't totally decide how I feel about it, but the big... Look, there's one shot in this movie that I was looking forward to the whole time, and it was like... This is the main reason I wanted to see this movie again. Mm. It is the first shot where they see the, I guess, the Brachiosaurus, the big one out in the field, first dinosaur that they have seen when they get on the island. And you get the first big John Williams cue of the, like, sappy theme. Everybody knows what scene I'm talking about.
Right.
So they kind of get to it really fast. Like, there's not a lot of build-up to it. And I guess in my head I remember there being a longer, slower build-up to it. But they really kind of move through everything.
See, you I guess that.
In general,
like
the movie felt like it went a lot faster than I remembered it.
Oh, no. See, I, on the other hand, was struck by, I was like, man, he really takes his time getting to, like, big adventure scenes. Like, it's pretty much half the movie before you start getting into, like, major peril.
Oh, but I could have gone for more of it. Like, so, I mean, Ben Flanagan sort of cleverly, I'm like introducing him as though he's the third person here in the podcast.
He is in our hearts.
But he made the point that he felt like it was good that you didn't spend too much time with the dinosaurs feeling good about it and saying like, oh, this is amazing. Because really, that's the only good dinosaur stuff in the whole movie. The rest of it, it's all awful. Like, the rest of it, everything
well,
is horrible
that,
and terrible.
But kind of, the point is, the T-Rex is who saves them, ultimately. Like, he's kind of the hero.
I mean, it's really just more that it's dumb luck and that nature has taken its course and they just happen to be in the right place at the right time.
I wouldn't say that
he doesn't like willfully. He doesn't willfully save them. The T-Rex didn't go like, "We must save these little
people."
I'm just saying
that is ultimately their salvation is a dinosaur.
I would say that
not wrong.
Things played out in their favor, but if there had been no raptors in the building when the T-Rex came in, he'd have eaten them, for sure.
Yeah, well, but he didn't.
The other thing that I don't hate that it moves fast. I just remember
Again,
it moving slow.
I don't feel
slow.
Like it moves fast.
I just thought there was more build-up to it.
You know, there's a part where they're in the, like, T-Rex paddock before, like, during the day. Before all the business starts,
yeah, where he
down.
Never shows up,
and yeah, and I was, and like as I'm watching that, I was like, "Are we already there?" Because I was thinking it was the big scene, and then I was like, "No, I guess not." And that was when I was like, "Man, this really does like he really builds suspense for a long time because you think that first scene, you know, when they're in by the T-Rex thing, having seen the trailers back in 1993 or whenever it was, you're probably going like, "Oh yeah, here it comes," and then it doesn't.
Yeah, well, that's what he wants.
You know? And actually, I was also having, like, little moments of going, like, this is, you know, he kind of does the Jaws thing, too, where the monster is a menace long before you ever see it.
Because
the first scene with the Velociraptors, you don't see anything. You barely see, you know, the quickest flash of a reptilian eye. And then, you know, you don't see anything. You just know, like, oh, something bad happened. And
yeah.
then you have, Shoot-ha!
Yeah, you love your Robert Muldoon impression.
Well, it's a pretty good one.
So, the other thing that was sort of kept jumping out at me watching this, and it's not news or anything, but, like, really, there's a lot, especially with the Velociraptors and the T-Rex. I almost feel like more than 50% of what we see of them is puppets and not CG.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I think pretty much the only, like, big CG shot
No, there's a lot of them, but there are way more puppet shots than I think most people would realize in this movie, and they totally sell. I don't think the CG is really, really good, especially on the T-Rex. It's amazingly good. Like, nobody's made a monster to this day as good as the T-Rex in this movie.
Well, and I mean, I think, well, part one, the big CG shot, though, the big, big money shot is that first one. And kind of the cheat they use that makes it still look like good CGI is that it's sunny. So, mm-hmm. like, and maybe part of this was
backlit.
That we were watching. Well, maybe part of this is that we were watching in 3D, too, and that kind of messes with it. But, like, there was a little bit of a painterly quality to it, but you mm-hmm. could kind of chalk it up to, like, it's this bright, sunny day.
Yes.
Like, there was something about it that made it, even though it wasn't quite photorealistic, you still could buy that it was...
Those are really good, but I feel like it's more important for him to make you feel like the scary ones are real And same with the one that kills Newman. Is that one they need you to be scared of too. And that's...
That wasn't Puppet?
Oh, the vast majority of it was Puppet, yes.
Oh, no.
Well, there's a couple of CG shots of it. Yeah, but the thing is, I think that you're... you know, Peter Jackson talked a lot about this with all the practical effects he did in the Lord of the Rings movies. That
it's a value of the CG, tell when it's not real.
Well, it's not, but you, when you some knowing that you have to do CG stuff at some point, you have to sell the audience's brain at least once that they saw something real, and then when they see the CG the next time, it actually might come through a little better for them, and they might be more willing to accept it. And I think that the fact that you, the first time you actually see the T-Rex is a puppet. The first time you see a raptor, it's puppets and animatronics. And so by the time you see the CG ones, it doesn't really bother you that they're CG and they're sort of moving and wiggling their necks and jumping on things. And I think if that was the first time you saw it, it might bother you. But the fact that you've already seen something that was real, well, in a real environment, you're kind of mentally sold on it by then.
Well, and he also does, you know, with the Triceratops, which was just a big puppet.
Yeah, that was all puppet.
You know, he clearly, like, as a youngster, I didn't notice this, but as a cynical adult, I was like, he has them all laying on it, petting it, like they're doing very tactile things with it. And that,
yeah, it's almost like
subtle
you're,
and natural
you're
because
getting,
you would touch it. But, yep. Like, he also kind of had, he kind of wrote it perfectly, because how else would they have a chance to really pet a dinosaur except for that it's a sick one, and, mm-hmm. and it's okay, and it's not going to hurt you.
Right.
And so, and, you know, these are all people who love dinosaurs, so you buy it. That yeah, if they had the opportunity, man, they would just, you know, treat it like a pet, because that's something they're all obsessed with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little things like that. And also the fact that hold on to your butts gets said twice.
Does it get said twice?
Yeah, he says it at the beginning. And then he says it when he cuts off, or like he says it, I don't know, maybe like when they're, I think he says it when they're about to start their tour, and then he says it again when he's about to shut off all the power in the park. Also, it seems highly unlikely that the voltage on that fence would be low enough that someone could survive it. Even with CPR.
Oh, it says like 100,000 volts on it.
A bajillion volts. Definitely enough to kill a small boy in a Hawaiian shirt.
You will definitely die if you touch this.
I feel like we haven't even talked about Yak Back Matt. And that's because
Why?
We don't even need to, because he was a character in this movie.
Timmy.
Little
Could you
Timmy.
Have picked a more... I forgot that his name was Timmy, which is the most stereotypical boy movie name ever.
By the way, we should also talk about the fact that Matt confessed that he didn't ever understand the Do You Think He Saw Us joke.
I didn't. No, the first time I saw it, I did not have any idea why that was a joke.
What?
Because I live in the South where we don't say sore. We say saw because
yeah,
we speak correctly here.
I'm going to tell you a story, Matt. I also lived in the South and I definitely put two and two together.
Yeah, but you were around people from the Northeast who were like, oh, I hope you saw us the other day.
Yeah, that's how my relatives speak. You're right. You got it. Aunt Maria, I hope you're listening to this one. You can enjoy what my idiot husband thinks of the way you speak. Oh, no.
Pause it.
I told her she's not.
I have always sort of enjoyed the aspect of this movie that is, I feel like, parodying Disney World because of my background and obsession with Disney World. But I feel like there are a lot of jokes that I may have missed the first time around that sort of, you know... Hit me a little bit better.
You were too close to Disney World. You were too close back then.
No, I had not even lived in Orlando yet, but with the first time I saw this movie. I saw this movie for the first time in Birmingham at the Colonnade Cinemas. That was my first viewing of this movie.
Good.
When did you, do you remember seeing this movie?
I did not see it in theaters because I had good parents.
Oh, really?
Who wouldn't let me see a PG-13 movie when I was but a child. We somehow ended up with the home video.
It's parental guidance for children under 13. It doesn't say restricted for children under 13.
It was in my house. My parents didn't let me watch PG-13 movies.
Well, then that
was
their guidance choice.
Right. Well, it was a good one because that movie is scary as shit. I was scared, and I am a 30-year-old woman.
It is pretty scary.
I had a few moments, and I was like, oh, I forgot about that. And the little children behind us have been scarred for life now. But yeah, I don't understand how we ended up with a home video because the rules were a little lax, more lax.
So you're saying you had an illegal copy is how you saw this movie?
No. Like we had it as a home video.
Okay.
Like somebody gave it to our family or something. Somehow we had a movie, and I remember but I distinctly remember watching it because it was one of the first like really scary movies I had ever seen, and I was like upstairs in the playroom.
So this was your
by
first,
myself, like in the afternoon.
This was the first time you've ever seen Jurassic Park in a movie theater.
It was, which again, it really didn't. Scope doesn't really mean all that much to me.
Oh, it totally does to me.
Yeah, but listen, as I'm saying, I was watching it in our rec room, and it was sufficiently scary. And like during the day, I was watching it by myself, but I was laying on. I distinctly remember it because I was really scared, laying on the floor, feet up on the TV center. And I think at certain points I was like sat up straight and was like, whoa! And it scared me real bad. But it's good.
I remember the part that scared me the most when I was a kid.
The severed arm?
Well, no, but that is the part that scared me the most as a kid was the anticipation of stuff. So, like, when the T-Rex eats the guy,
not much to anticipate there. He just eats him in the
big. No, but you know it's coming. Like, there's a shot where it's like coming for a second.
And he's praying.
And so I think I covered my eyes the first time I saw it, and then the second time I didn't, and I was like, oh, that wasn't that bad, actually. But the part that was actually the biggest scare for me this time on a repeat viewing was after the power comes on.
Yeah.
And not necessarily when she has the arm on her.
Yeah,
it's when the raptor busts through these pipes.
Yeah.
Right after she turns the power on.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a good like combination sound effect, and it's a good, you know, it was a good like puppet raptor head blasting through right at her. It was just a good real. And
yeah,
then
that scared me real bad.
And then what happens right after he comes through there is that she starts running out, and she like slams this fence, this like gate, chain link gate. On the raptor, and she bounces off of it. It was like, I remember something about that little moment where she's having to run out of that bunker is like really super intense and violent feeling. Not violent, like, you know, because this is a movie where
she drops her mag,
people get
and
eaten.
She's
but it's super, it's just like feels very
visceral.
Yeah. It really gets your heart going in that part.
I know. Scared the crap out of me.
Because it's one of the only characters in the movie where you're legitimately like, it will bother me if that one gets killed, you know?
Yeah. Well, but I say, other than the, whoa, cool, interactive CD-ROM, it scales up
pretty
really
well.
Bad.
No, anything that they talk about computers when she's
and that's really,
I'm a hacker.
Yeah.
And there's something that Samuel L. Jackson says when he's trying to get into the computer, where something about, I hate this hacker crap.
Yeah.
It's just all about, like, I don't think anyone actually knew what a hacker was at that point. They just knew that was, like, people who were good at computers, basically.
Yeah. I would suggest.
Oh, yeah, there was something that we sort of mentioned that you said as a plot point where Nedry, the you know, the fat computer guy, Newman.
Yeah.
Mentions at the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
There's kind of a crucial line where he says, don't get cheap on me. That was
John Hammond's
mistake.
That
was John Hammond's mistake.
Well, and then, and
which
again,
is sort of
adult,
setting in motion why he's doing this.
Well, and again, as an adult, I noticed more, maybe because I have my own financial woes, that there was that little exchange between he and John Hammond.
Your
like,
financial
he's
problems.
He's like whining about it.
Yeah.
He's like, look, your financial problems are not, you know, not my fault or whatever.
Right.
Your mismanagement of your funds.
But he did. It was just, that was, in the end, that was his fatal flaw, is that he got cheap on his most important employee.
Well.
Who sold him out.
Yeah. But, yeah, which is a weird thing, considering that his refrain through the whole movie is spared no expense.
Yeah, that's right. That's actually,
but again,
Francesca, that's a great point. I didn't even think about
but
that.
But, again, the line that they give. But the line they give him, John Hammond. John Hammond?
Yeah.
Am I just saying that because of John Hammond?
No, it's John Hammond.
Okay. The line they give him is that he absolves him of that. That's it. He says, it's not my fault. You're mismanaging your money.
No, I would say that you made a really interesting point there, that he sort of...
yeah, but I'm saying...
He undervalued his... Look, because in the end,
the machines are what
you needed.
Them,
you needed to. You needed to pay that guy whatever you had to pay him, because you saw how it all fell apart without him. But yeah, I mean, that's a fair point too that you just said that basically.
Yeah, they wrote it.
The other point of the movie is that no matter what, there's this like suggestion that no matter what they did, it was eventually going to go wrong.
Life finds a way.
Right.
And I just remembered that Jeff Goldblum is the best.
He is really, really good.
He needs to be in all the movies.
Well.
All the movies, always.
Yeah, there's such a thing as too much Jeff Goldblum, but he is.
I don't think so.
This is one of the things.
And
this is one of the things that he's great in. And, you know, like, when we did the Back to the Movie stuff, he was the lone bright spot of the Big Chill, Jeff Goldblum. He's just, you know, when he does his thing and you use him in
the
correct...
Not the dancing pelvis of Glenn Close?
No. That is not the redeeming quality of the Big Chill.
Glenn Close's dancing pelvis. New band name.
William Hurt trying to sing like a soul singer.
You're not going to give any love to Kevin Kline on that movie?
No, I'm not. This has quickly become a Big Chill podcast.
As they all do.
Did you do that one with me? I don't remember who did the Big Chill podcast with me.
Might have. I don't remember.
Oh, it was so bad. Anyways.
I know, because I had seen it before, and I had told you, like, you are in for a world of William Hurt.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Oh, man.
What? So funny.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up, though.
Oh, I should say, apologies for all of the banging. I'm making some ice and cookies right now, and I'm trying to get case in point.
The cookie empire rolls on.
Well, empire, shanty town, more like.
I would have been down with some Jurassic Park cookies to celebrate.
Oh, that's
this
all
film's
I have
release.
To do. That's all I have to do. Is
what
to
would have been
cookies.
If someone ordered Jurassic Park cookies? What would you make?
Dinosaurs, Matt.
Out now. Get more creative.
CD-ROMs, Matt. What do you think, you idiot?
Car tires.
Mm-mm.
That would be good.
What?
Because the T-Rex tries to eat the car tires.
That's a major.
All right, well.
Now maybe, like, little Jeeps. There's a lot of Jeeps, a lot of denim shirts.
Yeah, Graham Flanagan wanted to know if you would rather have the Ford Explorer or the gas-powered Jeep.
Well, you had the Ford Explorer, didn't you?
I did have. I mean, it was, like, 10 years after that.
Didn't seem like it. Seemed like it was from the...
Mine did
Mesozoic
not. Mine did not
era.
Have an interact. Mine did not have an interactive CD-ROM in it, though.
I was about to make a hilarious joke, but then I couldn't. I said Mesozoic.
Yeah, you screwed it up.
Is that a thing?
It's a thing, but
all
I don't
right.
know what it
That's
is.
A thing. Well, my point was, it was an old,
yeah,
like a dinosaur.
Ah. Ah, ha, 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 ha. All right, we should. We really should have cut out earlier after you made your William Hurt joke and you were on top.
I was winning, and now
pushed it too far.
I lose.
Mm-hmm. All right, then.
You didn't contradict that, so thanks.
Thank you for listening to our special Jurassic Park podcast.
We didn't even say spoiler alerts at the beginning.
Oh, man. We ruined it for everybody.
Wah.
Don't see Jurassic Park 2 or 3. How's that for a spoiler alert? They're terrible.
I don't think you understand what a spoiler alert is.
All right. Bye.
Bye.